And we welcome you to the Tuesday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. We're going to be having some fun today as we relive with three people from Carthage College the very memorable tour that was taken by Carthage's Treble Chorale. We have with us in the studios today Dr. Peter Dene, a colleague of mine from the music faculty at Carthage, coordinator of music education there, and conductor of two of the choral ensembles, including the Treble Chorale, which is just back from a marvelous trip to Europe. And he has two students with him as well, Dene Palmer, a sophomore, music theater and public relations double major, and Chloe Kroger, who is a sophomore, elementary education major and music minor, and both members of the Treble Chorale. And so we're going to be doing some reminiscing over the next few minutes about what sounds like an absolutely terrific trip. We welcome all three of you to the morning show.
Thank you.
Good to have you all here. So, Dr. Dene, maybe we can begin by getting from you just kind of an overview of the place that this kind of touring has in the kind of the musical life at Carthage, how often this happens and how often you have been part of excursions like this.
Well, it goes way back in history. I mean, I was an 86 graduate of Carthage, and at that time there was international tours at Carthage weren't so as popular as they are now. It was really the Carthage Choir that was the only one going during J-term internationally, and they would go every 3 years. And when I came back in 2005 to teach, I learned that it was now a three-year rotation with a major ensemble going every year and kind of in the three-year rotation. And the Treble Choir isn't part of that rotation, so we kind of, it's been occasional international tours since I've been here. We went to Central Europe in 2007, and then in 2015 we went to China, and 2019 to Tanzania, and this now to Central Europe. So we kind of fit in when we can and when I'm able to do that. So this was one of those times, so it was really great.
And of course, this expansion of the music department's touring really fits into what's been a goal of Carthage overall.
Right.
I mean, that international travel and experiences abroad is very important to the experience of a whole lot of Carthage students, even outside of music.
Right, and I know Carthage, I don't know what the ranking is, but I know we're in the top 10 of colleges throughout the U.S. who, we call them short-term study abroad, which is just a month or less, I think, of study abroad. So we have lots in the month of January. Just about every continent in the U.S. in the world has somebody from Carthage on it, and many people on some of those continents. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you were saying that the Treble Chorale is actually not part of that regular rotation of Carthage Choir, band and orchestra, and that so you just sort of plug in where it's possible.
Right.
Just tell us a little bit about what that means. At what point does it even occur to you that now it's time for the Treble Chorale to take a trip and how do we do it?
Every time it was a little bit different. Back in 2007, I had just been here 2 years, and the then chair, Dr. Schertzma, just said that there was nobody going that particular year, 2007, because of something with the rotation, and did I want to bring the Treble Choir, and I jumped at that opportunity. The next two, China and Tanzania, there actually was another group that was the official ensemble traveling that date term, and it just, I don't remember what my motivation was to go to China, but I wanted to go. I think probably Corinne Ness, and I went with Corinne Ness, who at that time was the head of music theater at Carthage, and she was bringing students there, and I went with her to kind of just have the experience and get to know people, and it was I met some really great people and figured out a tour, and so we went the next year, and then Tanzania, because I've traveled to Africa many times, the company that I use to do our airfare, they offered me a really, really inexpensive trip to Tanzania in 2016, and I didn't have to sign anything, but the wish for them was that I would use that opportunity to plan a tour to bring my students there. And so I went in 2016 and explored a lot and thought this would be a neat... I've been to Namibia many times, and that to me is a hard place to travel with a choir because there are so few people that live in Namibia, and everything is really spread out. And it just seemed that Tanzania was a better place if I was going to bring a choir to Africa to do that. And so in 2019, we planned that and did that. And then I think this Central Europe trip was... again, an opportunity there because of COVID, the 3-year cycle shifted off, and there was an opening that nobody was going this particular January, and so I jumped on the chance to do that and worked really quickly to try and put a tour together.
Fantastic. Tell us what prompted kind of the choice, first of all, for Europe. And also the choice of where in Europe you ultimately went. I mean, at least kind of the general framework of it.
Well, what lots of people don't know is that there's a member of our choir, Sidney Anderson, whose father, Patrick Anderson, was the president of Carthage Choir in 1985 when I went to Central Europe with the Carthage Choir. And actually, Sidney came with me in a freshman year on a trip to Namibia and had a great time, but Patrick said to me that he really wanted his daughter to have the same experience he had as a student, and would love it if we were able to go to Central Europe. And I actually hadn't been there since 2009, and I thought, well, I'd like to go back, and if I could put together a tour that I felt comfortable doing, and that the people that I want to work with we're all on board to do it, then I would do it. And so it took, I mean, we actually didn't put the tour together until late August, early September. So it was a little bit of a kind of, because I couldn't get all the pieces in place until that time. And then it finally, and even then we were still, I couldn't tell them a final price until I got all these other details in place, but I knew we were going by that time.
Yeah. Wow. So living dangerously.
That's right.
Wow. Let's talk to our two students for a moment. Danae Palmer and Chloe Kroger. Had either of you been to Europe before, or was this going to be a first for you in terms of traveling abroad?
This was definitely a first.
This is Danae?
Yeah. So I'm in a family of six people, and we're all different ages, so it was kind of hard to plan a trip that would work for all of us. So I was super excited to take this opportunity, doing something I love. I feel like Europe was a great first international trip for me, just because the culture is very similar and you could easily communicate with those people. But I really enjoyed it. It was amazing learning about all these cultures, these countries, these languages. I found myself with my mouth dropped open a lot, and I didn't even realize it. But everything is so beautiful, and there's so much history.
Right.
And it's amazing.
Glad to hear it. How about you, Chloe? Was this a first for you?
Yeah, so this was my first time like going out of the country. My sister actually went to Ireland over the summer, and I got a little jealous. I was like, oh, I want to travel abroad so badly. And like Danae, I have a pretty big family. We're like five people, and we got a dog, so it's really hard to like get up and go. So yeah, this was my first like time like actually experiencing like Europe and like the different cultures, and like Danae said, it was just amazing, and like learning the different language, and like we learned how to say thank you in like Czech and German and like all these different things. And yeah, it was just a really good bonding experience with like the choir girls too. Like I felt like I didn't know like my choir, but now like I saw them for the first time since January yesterday, and we were like overjoyed and like screaming. We're like, oh my gosh. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah,
it's a good sign. That's great. So one of the things they mentioned, Dr. Danae, is that if you're going to go abroad for the first time, it's not a bad idea for Europe to be the destination, because there is I mean, although it's wonderful and incredible, it's also accessible and mm-hmm. some level familiar.
Right, right. Having taken many students their first time, sometimes their first time flying even to Namibia or China or Tanzania, it is, there are things that you, I mean, the foods, while they're different, tend to be familiar and like the modes of transportation and the number of people who speak English and all of those things make for a tour to Central Europe easier in that way, less challenging, but still a cultural experience. I mean, things you expect to be the same aren't the same, I think it is an easier place to for a first place to go for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think I guess I wanted to say the other thing that I thought about is, on this tour is that it's an introduction to this travel what I had said to them several times is that this is now you can come back and know where you want to go and know how to get from place to place and all of those things. They did have some challenges of we rode the tram several times, the metros in different cities, and having to negotiate that. But we did it as a group and so that they were able to see how to do those things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Adding on top of that, we would go somewhere and then be like, next time I'm going to do this. Next time we're going to do this. Mm-hmm. And we all have these plans in our mind now of when we go back, because I'm sure all of us would love to experience that again. We know what we want to do next time.
So you're not done with Europe, in other words.
Oh no.
I don't think anyone's ever done with Europe.
For those of you just joining us, we're speaking today on The Morning Show with Dr. Peter Dene from the music faculty at Carthage and with two of the members of his treble chorale, Dene Palmer and Chloe Kroger, who are just back from a marvelous tour of Europe, which took them to Prague and Munich and Salzburg to Slovenia and Croatia and Moravia and back to Prague again. Dr. Dene, did you have a tour manager in the same way that, like, Dr. Wynn did all those years, who did a lot of this putting together of the tour, or was a lot of that on your shoulders?
It was all of the tours that I've done are kind of my creation, the tours to Namibia and Tanzania and China. And the same here. I worked with someone. What's amazing is in 1985, when I went with the Carthage Choir, I met a woman named Misha, who is an English professor at one of the major universities in Prague, and we've stayed in touch over the years. And she, in the year 2000, she was part of a tour that I did with Susquehanna University, where I was teaching, and then in 2007, she was a part of that tour that the treble choir took, but she wasn't the major person that was arranging it. And then this year, I reached out to her, and she's in her 70s, and I didn't even know that. I didn't realize that she's a very, very young looking, very, very young looking 70-year-old, and in both looks and character. And she comes to Wisconsin every so often, so it just happened that she was going to be in Wisconsin in August. And I met with her in Madison, and she was not convinced at that point that she wanted to do it or could do it. But she took down all the information that I, you know, the kind of the plan that I had of where we should go and what we should do. And then she said, I'm going to go back to the Czech Republic and meet with my friend Vladia, who Vladia owned the bus company that we often used. And I had never met him. I had met the co-owner, George, many, many times. And George wasn't working with them anymore, and Vladia had retired too. And she said, "If I can convince Vladia to do this with me, then we'll do it." Mm. And about a week later, she wrote back and said, "He said yes." And so then we had to scramble, because typically you're supposed to have all of this in place about now, a year in advance, and we are less than, you know, about 4 or 5 months out.
Wow.
So we scrambled, really. And the treble choir kept trusting me. They had put down their deposit and all of that without a final cost, and I had guessed really high how much, and it was much less than that. So we were able to go with everybody who wanted to go. Yeah, so that was, so a lot of it was just kind of my dreams. I had been, Prague is probably my favorite city in the world, and so I knew I wanted to spend time there. And then I had friends in Germany and Slovenia and Croatia that I knew would work with me, and we could make music together, and so that all worked out. Yeah,
fantastic. So how many students from the Treble Chorale ended up going, and what is the proportion of the entire group? I mean,
that's
did most
question.
Of the group get to go?
So we had I think probably about 24. I should know exactly, but I don't. We had about 24, 25. But we also had three or four that were not members of the choir, because I had reserved more tickets, and so I didn't lose any money if I gave them back, but I just wanted to, I thought more people could come and experience this, and so we had a couple of roommates of people in the choir, and then also I reached out to Jo Jin Van Winkle, who's in our art faculty and does the video and photography and things, and asked if there was a student who might want to do an independent study with her, but do videography and photography. And so Andrew Coletti, the other male on the trip with me, joined us on that trip too, and he too had a fabulous experience, I think.
Great. And I assume there is an extensive recorded legacy.
Yeah, and so he's working on a video that's kind of a documentary sort of approach to, and it's, I just saw him 2 days ago, and he's very close to finishing that, and I know that's kind of his main project, and he's got a lot of other little things that he wants to put together, two kind of YouTube things. So we have lots of pictures and lots of video. Every concert was videoed from different angles and things like that. And,
wow.
Yeah, and we were lucky enough, my contact in Croatia, who's a woman that I met in Tanzania, she owns a photography and video company, and so that concert was professionally photographed and videoed as well, and they're putting together a video too. And that I had said to the choir even before we left that I thought that was going to be our best and most at least for me memorable concert, and it really was. I mean, it was in a tiny town in Croatia, and we arrived just in time to start the concert basically, and my friend Martina was texting me, you know, basically, the whole town is here. They had to add rows to the pews,
and people outside listening.
Yeah, there were people outside listening, and are you coming? Are you going to get here? And I just said, we will be there in time. Don't worry, we can just come in, and you know, I just need to get a sense of the space, and then tell them how we're going to do everything. And it was a really, really fun concert, I think. Yeah.
It brings back happy memories of the one time I took Carthage Choir there, and the tour manager at the time, Vernon Sell, his guiding principle was that although it's great to visit the great capitals of Europe like Prague and Salzburg and Vienna and so on, that there is nothing that equals going to small towns, and there you are treated like royalty. I mean, and the whole town, I mean, it sounds like this is that experience. I mean, they are so thrilled to have you there in a way that Salzburg is not thrilled to have you there. I mean, it's fine that you're there, but Salzburg is fine without the Treble Chorale or the Carthage Choir. But
the same, the musical. I mean, somebody in Salzburg has multiple opportunities to hear a concert on whatever night, and so to choose to come and hear the Carthage Treble Choir when all these other things are happening in a big city, kind of you have to know us or know somebody in the group, and when you're in a smaller town, it's an event, and
for them,
and I had said that to them too, that, and that's to me, that's what Vernon Sell, the person you mentioned, was the one who took us in 85 and 2000 and 2007. And so he was a big influence on me and what a tour should be. And that's one of the reasons I don't like to go, and I never have gone with a regular tour company that arranges tours for ensembles because they all go to the same place.
Mm.
And so every place we sang were places that had never had an American, well, except for Brett Claw. They've had Carthage Choir there a couple of times, and there is actually a picture of Dr. Schurzma there. So that's a small town, but Carthage has visited there several times because of Vernon Sell.
Yeah. Mm.
May I add something to that?
Yeah.
So one of my favorite parts on, like, the tour, like, getting back to, like, the smaller towns and stuff, is that when we went to Germany, we stopped in a place called Regensburg, and this was, like, early on, and that experience was so fulfilling and so fun, and it was the beginning of the year, and in Europe a lot of people take, like, a lot of time off for, like, the New Year's, so it was, like, really quiet and tiny, and, like, not a lot of people were out, but our treble choir went into this cathedral. It was called St. Peter's Cathedral. It was huge. It was beautiful. And, like, the architecture was just amazing, and we were walking around, and it was super quiet, and, like, we couldn't even talk in there. It was just felt like you have to whisper.
A little whisper would echo into the entire church.
And it was, like, one of our first, like, pop-ups. Like, okay, Dr. Nene's like, okay, everyone get in the front. We're going to sing. And we're like, in here? And we're like, really?
Are we allowed? Like, is that allowed?
It was so cool. So we got to sing Bogoroditsye and the Ukrainian carol. And it was so amazing. And just, like, when Dr. Danae cut us off, it just echoed for, like, 30 seconds, and my mouth was on the ground.
It's just the sound fills the cathedral, and I would do anything to experience that again.
Yeah. Wow.
The rush you got. Yeah. Like, we made that sound. Right. Like, we did that.
Yeah. And that was just for you, for your own pleasure. I mean, was not a concert. It was not a public performance at all.
I mean, we had so many pop-ups, like Dr. Danae told us, whether it's 5 people, whether it's 50 people, like
500,
500, we're going to sing for them. Wow. And smiles are everywhere.
Wonderful.
And, yeah. So
tell us about the repertoire that you were singing. Did Dr. Danae choose repertoire that was going to specifically resonate with your particular audiences, or was the choice made for you to sing a lot of American stuff because they don't get to hear that, or was it a mix?
A majority of the pieces were pieces that applied to the culture and the languages and the countries that we had sang in. We also sang a few pieces that the other choirs had brought out for us. But for the most part, yeah, most of our pieces were attached to the countries that we were singing in.
So you sang in Czech, and for instance,
we sang in Slavic. We sang two pieces by Slovenian composers, but people in the Czech Republic can understand them, and people in Croatia can understand them. We sang one piece that was from Slavic liturgy. Church Slavonic is how it's just like Latin is considered the Christian Catholic tradition. The Church Slavonic is another. So those pieces were all familiar to the kind of Slavic countries that we were in. We did a piece that was originally written in German, but the composer herself made an English translation. And we sang the English. We sang that at Christmas festival. Oh, Jesus, Sweet Child.
Oh yeah.
And then we had lots of a set of kind of women's empowerment songs songs subtly about freedom, more about birds and things like that. We had this discussion about birds on the trip, and then we closed with a South African freedom song, actually a combination of two songs that I kind of arranged together, Siyahamba and Oh Freedom, and that was popular. And one thing I didn't mention is only one of our concerts did we do on our own, and that was the Croatia one. I was working with a choir director to have a joint concert there too, but they typically have the month of January off, just like they were saying, so he couldn't get his choir together. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the other places, I had pieces that I wanted them to sing with us, and then many of the places then wanted us to sing songs too. And we, some of those, many of those places, we got that music the day of, and
wow.
And so we learned music, and that was in their language oftentimes too. In Slovenia, we sang a piece in Slovenian.
Pasa slish,
yeah, something about the bells, and yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds wonderful. Tell us about how you traveled. I mean, you landed in Prague. You ultimately took off from Prague, but otherwise you went quite a lot. Was it all by bus?
Yeah, from location to location, yes, we did use a charter bus. But in the cities, we used the tram, we used the bus, we used the subway. So what... Misha was always talking about how many methods of transportation we were taking, and mm-hmm. you never really realized it because you're living in the moment, but used everything you could think of. Mm-hmm. Some people went on a boat, so...
Well,
yeah.
But if you don't remember, everybody went on a boat.
In the salt mine, yes.
Yeah, we went down in the salt mines, and there's a point where you take a boat. It's not very long, but you go across from one side to the other. And the fascinating thing about that is I didn't realize I was looking. When you look at the water, I thought that we were looking at the bottom, but it was actually the reflection of the ceiling because the water was so calm.
Mm-hmm. It was crystallized salt, it was crazy beautiful.
So tell us about the balance between singing concerts versus free time. Did the balance feel about right?
Yeah, I think that we had like seven concerts altogether.
Six concerts. Six official ones,
yeah. Yeah, so...
Over the course of how many days?
It was 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, 19 days, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was... It was a lot. there was one point where we had like two or three concerts in a row, so we definitely had to like drink our tea in the morning, and like at least I did. But yeah, we had like a lot of free time like during the day, and we would always have like one meal that was like we had to like figure out, so that would normally be lunch. And they're like, okay, lunch is, you guys have free time, you have like 2 hours, go explore. So it was really nice to have like that time to like explore with your friends. And mm-hmm. like, when we went back to Prague at the end of our trip, we had, like, 2 free days to just do whatever we wanted and explore the town. And Misha actually invited her students to come in and act as, like, mini tour guides to help us, like, navigate and, like, get around the city. So that was really fun, too.
Cool.
Yeah.
Let's talk for a moment about Prague, which you said is, Dr. Nene, your favorite city. And it is an amazing city indeed. Mm-hmm. What are a couple of high points from each of you in terms of what you saw and experienced in Prague? Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's so much. I don't even know where to start. I'm speechless. I don't know. Just the... You want to start, Chloe?
Mm-hmm. Well, that was actually the end of the trip. So when they got to do, like, the whole big tour of Prague, me and my roommate were sick, so we had to, like, take the day off. Hmm. So the second to last day, we were... we got to experience Prague. But my favorite part of being in Prague was seeing the opera at the Prague Opera House. We got to see Madame Butterfly. And just walking in there and seeing, like, a grand opera house was, like, the most magical experience.
Oh, it's a gorgeous place, isn't it?
Yeah, and it was crazy because if you think about it, we saw Madame Butterfly, which talks about, like, Japanese, like, culture. And they were singing in Italian, and then, like, the captions... So, you know, like, what's going on. We're in Czech and English. It was, like, such an immersive experience. So,
it's such a gorgeous opera. That's great. Yeah, I was glad to hear that you were able to see something really wonderful there.
Mm-hmm. I think my favorite was the King Charles Bridge.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I walked over that bridge so many times. Because it's so popular, and you see all these people, and there were a lot of people selling... their own art.
Oh, yeah.
And it was very, very, very cool to see different varieties of art of that same bridge. So that was probably my most favorite part, and all the statues on the bridges, like how they had been added at different times in history. And I thought that was so interesting because that bridge holds so much history in itself.
Absolutely. Dr. Dene, I'm sure it feels so wonderful for you to return to Prague repeatedly. Yeah, and, of course, you've had the experience that my wife Kathy has of having been to Prague once upon a time and to see
Yeah.
That city bloom over the generations.
Yeah, behind the Iron Curtain, as it used to be referred to, there was this kind of sense of fear almost that mm-hmm. you didn't really know what that meant in the whole time we were there, but also it was just a beautiful place in 85, but very different. Yeah, it was, I think the people were afraid of being seen talking with you and lots of things. You weren't sure if you were doing legal things or not, and but it was still just a beautiful, beautiful place. And the people that you did get to meet were beautiful and want to connect. And there's Misha, she's got a fascinating story too. She was in Finland when the Russians took over Prague and Czech Republic in 1968, and just her story of getting back. And her family they're all from Prague, but they were all in different places and trying to connect. And so then just understanding that culture and kind of being joyful about where they are now and fearful about what's happening in the Ukraine and just that something like that can even go on now. And we talked about that throughout the tour, too. We were singing this Ukrainian carol. So I think it was great to be back and to reconnect with people who I'd known since 85. Yeah,
very good. I know that two of the other major cities you visited were Munich and Salzburg. Mm-hmm. What are some high points that you want to share from those two cities?
Well, I loved Salzburg. I just took Music History 1 with Dmitry Shapovalov before I went on this trip. And when I heard that I got to see the place where Mozart art was born, I was like ecstatic. Like everyone on the bus knew, like, oh my gosh, Chloe, calm down. Like it's fine. But my roommate actually got a picture of me like seeing like Mozart's birthplace for the first time. And it's priceless. I'm like, oh my gosh, my mouth on the floor. But it was so cool to walk through that town. And everything is so colorful there. Mm-hmm. Like all the buildings. And it was just, I described it as like walking through like an ice cream shop almost, because it just looked like all different like pastel like ice cream. And
well, and you can walk it. I mean, it's not that huge a city. It's mm-hmm. very doable, feels very comfortable to be around, and you kind of know where everything is almost inherently, instinctively. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lovely place to visit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I enjoyed Salzburg as well. The castle that's on top of the hill, the fortress in Salzburg, was one of the places that I was, like, for sure wanting to go. However, I did have to walk up, I don't even know, 350 steps.
Oh, you didn't take the little...
No, it was broken.
That's another form of transportation that we typically... We had one experience, actually, in the salt mine, too, the funicular. But the funicular was broken. Yeah, it was not working in Salzburg when we were there.
As miserable as I felt walking up those steps, it was so worth it.
Mm. And when you get there.
Yeah. And at that point in the trip, it was kind of like a, not like a turning point, but just like a realization that like this happened for a reason. Like going up these 350 steps was an experience that I'll be able to tell people forever. But it was so cool walking through the castle because it was like a little village in itself.
Right.
And I don't know, going to the top of the fortress and looking over Salzburg, it's just like I think we stayed up there for like 30 minutes just looking around, looking at the mountains, looking at all these beautiful tall buildings, all these churches that pop up everywhere. And that's another thing, is that in Europe there's churches everywhere
everywhere you look,
and I love it because huge. They're all beautiful and they're all different in their own way,
right? And so, many of them ancient.
So I mean, Salzburg was probably my favorite city, to be honest. Just like all the beautiful little aspects of history throughout the entire city, they had it. There was so many little places that you could visit, and every single place I was smiling ear to ear. So
wonderful. How about the little towns that Dr. Dene was mentioning before? You have a couple high points from those small town experiences on the tour?
Goling,
yes.
Oh, I have a story.
Being 19, I was able to experience bar life in Europe. So me and a couple girls went to a local bar in Galling in Germany, which is the small...
Austria, outside of... It was Austria outside of Salzburg.
Yep, he got it. we were in a small town, so... There was six of us girls walking into a local bar full of local men, and they were all staring at us like, who, what, who are these people? But we actually connected with the owner of the bar, and he and his son had so many good conversations with us, and as we were leaving, he gave us all hugs, and he said, come back, like, we'd love to see you again, because these people don't get to experience, like, these tourists, I guess.
often. Tourists don't make their way to those little places.
Exactly. So, but it's just, like, it's super cool, because I feel like connecting with people in the smaller towns is something that I remember more than being in the big city. And I feel like it's easier to connect with people in the small towns because they're crazy to talk to you and learn about
right.
America.
They're excited that you're there.
And unrelated, but another thing that I realized is that whoever we'd ask if they went to America at all, they would always say the East and West Coast and Florida, Miami specifically. A lot of them have gone to Florida, and I never realized like that Florida was the main location that Europeans would like to go to. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd have something to do with Mr. Disney.
Yeah, right.
Chloe?
Yeah, so one of my favorite experiences was also in Galling. So my roommate Gracie and our two friends, Eva and Andrew, we kind of like became our little like quad at that point. Like we were like a little crew and we kind of like stuck by each other from like Galling on. And the night that we arrived in Galling, we were like super tired. It was raining out and we're like, I'm just tired and like I need to like recharge. But Andrew and Eva came over to our room, and they're like, do you guys want to go on a walk? It's raining outside, and me and Gracie are like, okay. So we go outside, and we're walking and just, like, touring, like, the little town. And right next to our hotel is this beautiful church and this, like, super, like, ornate cemetery. So we walked through the cemetery, and it was, like, a bunch of, like, hills, so it was, like, levels. And we get to the top, and we're just looking out, and we're like, you guys, we need to come back tomorrow morning and watch the sunrise here. Because we could see, like, little lights, like, in the distance. And Andrew was like, I bet those are mountains. And I'm like, okay, Andrew, I don't know what you're talking about. But we wake up early the next morning, get breakfast. We're like, okay, we're going to go out. We walk up to the top of the hill in the cemetery again. And they're most beautiful mountains I've ever seen in my life. And we see, like, the steeple of this church that's, like, next to our hotel. And just the top of it is lit from the sun because the sun's, like, coming up over the mountain. It was the most, like, liberating, like, experience. Like, it was so beautiful. And me and my friends just stood there in awe. And, like, we didn't even have to talk to each other. We were just, like, taking it in. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that was by far, like, my favorite experience ever on that trip. Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, fantastic. I have another thing. I'm sorry. Yeah. I talk a lot. Anyways, so Croatia was, I feel like, a majority of the choir's favorite concert because of how their reaction to us singing made us feel. Mm-hmm. And after we were done with our concert, everybody was clapping simultaneously. And I'm like, what does that mean? Like, I've never heard that before.
Rhythmic clapping.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So... Mm-hmm. It means encore. And how many encores did we sing?
We had four encores.
And oh, wow.
Like, they just kept wanting more.
Yeah, and I finally said that we're done.
But that, like, that experience of, like, just looking at them smile so much and, like, want more from us, it was just amazing. And afterwards, outside of the chapel, a lady came up to me and she just gave me a hug. She goes, can I hug you? And I'm like, of course, I love hugs. And she goes, thank you so much for coming. This, like, you were amazing. I loved listening to you. And she had a daughter with her, and her daughter's like, can I give you a hug? Yeah. And I mean, like, they in Croatia, they didn't know English as well as other countries that we had visited. So the daughter had to translate for her mom. But just having those two people come up to me and give me a hug, it's like, it's amazing. And like, my heart was so warm, and I felt so fulfilled. Like, our choir was bouncing off the walls yes. afterwards. Like, we that was, I think, the highest point in our trip for us mm-hmm. as a group. Yeah, and it was amazing.
Hmm. Sounds like it. What were COVID protocols like? Just to kind of bring us crashing to earth here for a moment, but mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there were certainly a couple of years there where a trip like this would have been utterly impossible, and we're still not done with COVID by any means. What were COVID protocols like over there?
There was nothing mandatory, and mm-hmm. I know Chloe and I went back and forth on email a little bit before the concert, and some other members saying, what should we do and what should everybody do? And so I had just said, you know, you should have a general practice and always have a mask with you, and that I'm not mandating anything, but probably the safest thing is to wear a mask on the airplane and anytime we're in close proximity to lots of people. And it just became, I mean, there were more people wearing masks in the beginning, but I think as we went along, that kind of, some did, but not much. And we didn't see many people outside of that, just kind of people where we were mm-hmm. wearing masks. And I know that both the orchestra and the Carthage Choir were on tour in the summer, and members of both ensembles got COVID while they were there, and we got colds and things like that.
But we got bad colds.
Yeah, they're pretty bad colds. Trip. Yeah, but no one got COVID, and I don't know that we interacted with anybody. And in the, you know, when we were going at that time, where there was all the news about the new strain of whatever, mm. And that it was more virulent, but I think we were fortunate, mm-hmm. just as we were fortunate with the weather. And I mean, unfortunate for the ski places that we were near, but it was great for us not to have to deal with snow the majority of the trip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I know that the Carthage Choir was going to go to Hungary not that long ago, and the plans for that trip were changed because of the situation with Russia and Ukraine. Did you have any hesitancy about taking a group to Europe, and were there at any points any experiences where you felt like we're a little too close for comfort, or by and large did you feel like you were at a safe distance from that conflict?
My fear was that parents were going to be concerned because I didn't have any students ask, and but the only thing that happened is I wanted to go to Bratislava because I brought a choir there before, and it's a really neat place, and there's a place that we stayed that I wanted to stay again, and it was, again, in a very small town, Svati Jur, St. George, and it was a former convent that just was beautiful. And so I called them, and they were filled to capacity with refugees. This was in the summertime, and they said, there's no guarantee, and I'm sure they're still full. And so they weren't taking any bookings. And so then I just thought, yeah, that's the only country that we would have gone in that actually borders Ukraine. And so I thought, that's probably just best to leave that off the tour.
Yeah, too bad, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Well, have we touched every high point that you wanted to cover?
No, but
well, let's take a minute for each of you to talk about one more great moment that we haven't gotten to.
They're thinking. I would say for me I love people and I love culture and I love interaction, and I just had so many positive interactions with the people that I knew already and then people that I met. And for me, the most kind of touching and memorable experience was the last day in Prague, when a former student of mine, actually from Susquehanna University, who went on the tour in 2000 and was a senior, He lives in Dresden, and he's a professional member of the opera there. And he contacted me on Facebook and said, "It'll just take me a little bit to get to Prague on a bus. If I come, can we get together?" And we spent the whole day together.
Wow!
And what was fascinating is he went on that tour. That was a May tour in 2000, and then he was graduated from Susquehanna, and about a month later, he moved back to Vienna to begin study there, and he basically never left. Hmm. From the time I saw him till 23 years later.
Wow.
So it was really, and I stayed in touch with him, but never seen him again. So that was just a really great, great, great day.
What a delight.
In my favorite city. So.
Of course. How fantastic. Real quick, one thing from each of you.
Going back to Galling, our concert there, and we had dinner afterwards with the high school students, and it was, I don't know why I remember this, but we were talking about, because everywhere in Europe, they have sparkling water everywhere. And we were talking about it, and I said something about how we had flavored sparkling water. And they were like, what? Like, we want to go to America and try some sparkling water. So that was cool. Just, I didn't want to leave. I did not want to leave, but we had to. And
That was Altate.
Oh gosh! See, we went so many places I can't even remember.
But yeah, that was a great night. We were in a local kind of pub, and they had this whole section where it just was loud the whole mm-hmm. night as we were eating our supper and conversing. So
great for the throats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful, Chloe.
Well, one of my favorite places. I'm probably going to say this wrong, but it's Berchtesgaden.
Berchtesgaden.
Thank you, Dr. Denae. We were driving on the bus, and we stopped, and we were just, like, in the middle of the mountains. And Misha was like, okay, everyone, we're going to get off the bus. And we're like, where are we? She's like, just get off the bus. And we're like, okay. We get off, and we just see all these beautiful mountains. I believe it was the Swiss Alps.
Yeah.
And
Austrian Alps, yeah.
Yeah, and we just got off the bus, and everyone was taking, like, pictures and just – I was, like, having a snowball fight with my friend Eva, like, because that was, like, the one day where there was actually snow on the ground because it was cold. We got to take, like, our group picture, and just, like, everyone was just smiling from ear to ear and just, like, seeing the mountains because it's something I've never experienced. And, like, seeing that kind of landscape, it was just take your breath away experience. Yeah. The whole experience was like that, but I don't know, just seeing those mountains and, like, bonding with the choir and just doing stupid snowball fights and stuff like that. It was so fun.
Sounds like an amazing trip start to finish. And I hope at some point when this sort of quasi-documentary gets put together that will maybe be shared on the Carthage website or something.
So. Yeah, that's the plan.
So we can put some visuals to what you've so vividly described in words, this wonderful trip that took you to Prague, Munich, Salzburg, Vienna, and to some lovely small communities as well, having a truly joyous experience. And thank you for taking time to be part of the morning show today to tell the story of a really, really great trip.
Thank you for letting us reminisce.
You bet. You bet. Denae Palmer, Chloe Kroger, and, of course, Dr. Peter Denae, my guests today on the morning show here on WGTD. Tomorrow on the morning show, I'll be speaking with Yehuri Williams about his wonderful biography about Jackie Robinson called Call Him Jack, an examination of Jackie Robinson's very important life and significance and influence even apart from the baseball field. The morning show airs every weekday morning between 8 and 9 o'clock.